Today's episode is brought to you by the Clackamas County Fair and Rodeo, everything a county fair was meant to be. Coming to you August 16th through 20th, only in Canby. Tickets and information at clackamascountyfair.com or download the new app on Google Play or the Apple App Store. This episode is also brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. Sunday services on campus and online at 9 and 11 a.m. Learn more at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to Now Hear This Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyler Clausen, and this is what's happening this week in our community. The five-term mayor of Canby and two sitting councilors are the lone fillers in the respective races in the November general election, with 1 month remaining before filing deadline closes. Canby Mayor Brian Hodson filed the paperwork last week to seek a sixth term in office. He has served as mayor for a decade, along with 2 years as city councilor. All in all, I just enjoy being the mayor, Hodson tells Now Hear This Canby. I enjoy the work, and I'm very excited to continue to work in the capacity of mayor. It's always my goal to listen to the community feedback and make what we feel are good decisions for the city of Canby to be successful and thrive. Incumbent Councilor Greg Parker has also served a dozen years on the Canby City Council and was the first to file for November election last month. He is seeking a fourth term. And the council's newest member, Art Marine, has also thrown his hat into the ring. The longtime mortgage banker in April became the latest appointee to a seat that has been a revolving door in recent years, having been held by five different people since former councilor Tracy Height first won it in 2018. I have enjoyed my time on city council so far, and every day I learn more about our city and the choices we face, he said. I have also learned that helping guide the city in the right direction is a process that will take time. It would be impossible to have a consequential impact in the remaining months of my term. With that realization, I have decided to run for re-election and help finish the job we have started. The term of incumbent Councilor Sean Barwig is also set to expire this year, and he has not publicly indicated whether he will seek re-election. The council's positions are all four-year terms, while the mayor serves for only 2 years. The winners of the mayor and council races will be sworn in January 2023. Nomination papers will be accepted through August 25th. Interest in the positions has been light through the first 2 months of filing, a marked change from the November 2020's fiercely contested council races. Appointments for vacant seats on the council have also been widely sought in recent years, drawing as many as a dozen applicants. Clackamas Fire Agencies have enacted a strict burn ban in the midst of a scorching heat wave that is roasting Canby area and much of the state this week. The burn ban includes all fire agencies in Clackamas County. Canby Fire, Aurora Fire, Clackamas Fire, Colton Fire, Estacada Fire, Hoodland Fire, Malala Fire, and Sandy Fire, and it took effect Thursday, July 28th. The new fire restrictions were recommended by the Clackamas County Fire Defense Board and are authorized under Oregon law and statewide fire codes. The burn ban prohibits all backyard or open burning, branches, yard debris, etc., all agricultural burning, and any other land clearing, including slash, stump, waste, debris, or other controlled burning. The burn ban does not prohibit small outdoor cooking, warming, or recreational fires, including portable or permanent fire pits, fire tables, and campfires with a maximum fuel area of 3 feet in diameter and 2 feet in height. These fires must be in a safe location away from combustibles or vegetation and be fully extinguished after use. Also permitted are barbecue grills, smokers, and similar cooking appliances with clean, dry firewood, briquettes, wood chips, pellets, propane, natural gas, or similar fuels. However, officials say that there may be more restrictive fire safety rules within Oregon Department of Forestry protected land, which exists throughout much of rural Clackamas County. ODF restrictions may include prohibitions on campfires, smoking, target shooting, powered equipment, motorized vehicles, and other public slash private land owner and industry fire restrictions. Outdoor fires in violation of this restriction may be immediately extinguished. If a fire agency responds to a fire that has been started in willful violation of these restrictions, the person responsible may be liable for all costs incurred, as well as legal fees. In a press release Tuesday, Clackamas County fire chiefs encouraged the public to use extreme caution with activities that could start a fire. It is everyone's responsibility to prevent and be prepared for wildfires, the statement said. A Canby couple believes it's time the United States apologizes for the way Vietnam-era veterans were treated after returning home from the front lines of the deeply unpopular war, and later this year they will be taking their message cross-country. Thanks to the support of several generous sponsors, Ken and Melinda Buckles of the local nonprofit Remembering America's Heroes have launched the new project honoring Vietnam veterans across America, which will include a cross-country road trip to honor and thank Vietnam veterans, as well as apologize for the shameful way many of them were treated upon returning home. Planned to start in Canby on October 28th, the Buckles will travel the country over the course of 45 days, stopping in at least 28 communities to meet and listen to Vietnam veterans and their families, and share their simple message of hope and healing. The government of New Zealand apologized to their Vietnam veterans for the way they were mistreated, and that was almost 15 years ago, Ken Buckles said. It is well past the time for our country to do the same. Our courageous Vietnam veterans did not receive the hero's thank you and welcome home that they deserved. Instead, they were screamed at, insulted, abused, and even spit on. It is a stain on our nation's memory, but it's never too late to try and right a wrong. The Honoring Vietnam Veterans Across America tour has been supported by La Quinta Inn and Suites, which will provide lodging for the team, and Weston Buick GMC in Gresham, which is loaning the Hummer that will transport the team across country. Weston is also donating the custom wrap for the vehicle, including an apology message for the Vietnam veterans that will be seen by thousands of Americans across the country. The Canby City Council also lent its support to the project, becoming its first municipal sponsor and voting to issue a proclamation apologizing to the Vietnam-era veteran community, the first known city in the United States to do so. The support by businesses and community members for our veterans has never ceased to amaze us, Ken Buckle said. Many places say thank you to our veterans, but it's not just words here, and it never has been. Thank you really means something here in Cambie. For information or to follow along with the journey, visit the Honoring Vietnam Veterans Across America Facebook page. The Cambie Police Department will hold its second annual Grill and Chill event next month in conjunction with National Night Out. The free, family-friendly event will feature food, fun, and demonstrations of police equipment and techniques that will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, August 2nd at the Cambie Police Department located at 1175 Northwest 3rd Avenue. We are excited to have our second annual Grill and Chill event this year on National Night Out, said Cambie Police Chief Jorge Tro. This is our way of saying thank you to this great and supportive community. Come by and meet your Cambie police officers. We hope to see you there. The night's menu will feature hot dogs grilled up by Cambie's finest, along with free Kona ice until 6 p.m. Other fun will include a photo booth, exciting police demos in a dunk tank. Residents are encouraged to meet and mingle with local officers and enjoy music compliments of Cambie music. National Night Out is an annual event on the first Tuesday in August, created to foster quality relationships between police and those they serve in an effort to strengthen relationships and the community overall.
I'm Roz Mason. I'm running for Oregon Senate District 26. This is a rural district, and while our area has historically been seen as a Republican stronghold, this is simply no longer the case. A near even number of registered voters from both parties now live in our area, and the voice of independent and non-affiliated voters is critically important. I'm the candidate with the best track record of bridge building and working across the political spectrum. I'm committed to representing all people in my district. I show that through my involvement in public safety, the military, business, and agriculture. We all want responsible legislation and civility. In this race, your vote and involvement really matter. Join us at masonfororegon.com. Paid for by Mason for Oregon 21968.
Hey, Tyler. Read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, sass, sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Cambie.
Yeah, guys, this local, independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Cambie. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcambie.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Can you tell me your name and the name of the team that you coach?
My name is Harold Ridge. I coach Ridge Brothers Racing.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
We've been around for about 20 years as a team.
Yeah.
We've been around for 22 years.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you get into it? And it's, I don't know if we meant it, it's a BMX.
BMX racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we were younger, my brother raced a little bit.
Yeah.
And we used to always have a dream to go to the track in San Francisco at McLaren Park and watch them race. And we just couldn't, you know, we couldn't afford it. But my brother always had BMX bikes, and we always rode. We always ran our, if we had any kind of lot in San Francisco, anywhere, we could go ride, make our own little jumps and things like that. So when my son.
So you like to do the stunts and stuff.
Yeah. So my son got dying, you know, I started looking into getting to different sports.
Yeah.
We played football, baseball, soccer. And one day a wife came home and she was did somebody's hair at garter race and had a little card. And so we went to Molotov River.
Yeah.
And that's ever since then.
Rest is history. Yeah.
So then we started out with my son, my brother's son, my daughter, and his two daughters, and then two of my son's friends.
Yeah.
And that's how we started the team.
Yeah.
And then we just grew from there, just kind of grew into a family thing. The girls dropped off immediately almost. Not too far after we got started, but the boys continued.
Yeah.
And just continued to race nationally and all over, all over the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's come over the years, though, to take in other people from outside the family.
Oh, yeah. We started taking on, we had two at the beginning, and they raced with us for like a couple of years. But as during that time, we were still growing and gathering families. And we still do have some of the strongest family ties with these families that we've gained over these years.
Yeah.
And that's the main reason we do the team. Mm. Because of the family aspect of it. A lot of teams in this sport are factory.
Corporate.
And there's different ways. Then there's another thing I call it a popularity contest.
Uh-huh.
And that's a big part of this sport where people just want to be seen and be noticed.
Yeah.
We did it for the family aspect of it.
Yeah.
To have some togetherness and get to grow and get to know people. And I had kids that I watched grow from 5 years old and went to their graduation in high school.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so it's just, that's the reason we do it. That's the reason I do it.
Yeah.
And everything else comes with it, you know, all the plates and how the kids do and all that's part of it. But that doesn't drive me.
Yeah.
It's always been the people I've met during the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you also work where we're here recording this interview at the East Portland Community Center. You work with youth.
I work with the teenagers here. Right now, primarily, the kids right here at the middle school is a middle school right across the parking lot.
Yeah.
And those are usually my kids that I see on a daily basis. But we have high school students that come here that we work with. We have Youth Advisory Council. We have a group of kids that do a lot of the work themselves. You know, they organize the volunteers. They do a lot. I mean, it's amazing what they do. They started a store this year.
Yeah.
After COVID, we wanted to do something, and I wanted to teach them some economics and things like that. So we started a store, which the store was very successful. So they do all that themselves. And not only that, we offer jobs to them, too.
Mm,
I got
awesome.
5 kids from the center, from our program, that's got jobs at 14 years old.
Yeah.
So, and they're working right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I do on a daily basis. I've been doing this for 26 years.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Back to BMX, over especially the probably last decade or so, you must have just seen this sport, especially in this area, the state, just explode.
Yes. The sport, it has its ups and downs. You know, it has busy times.
Literally.
You know,
and figuratively.
It goes big and then it goes down. Being as Oregon, a lot of rain.
Yeah.
The sport has a lot more valleys than peaks because once the rain starts, it's kind of hard without an indoor being here in Oregon.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to retain the families.
Yeah.
And that's another thing a team does. It helps retain the families. It gives them some togetherness and gives them a contact.
Structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they can get back to even when the season isn't going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the sport has really evolved a lot. from when I came in. When I came in, it was aluminum, now it's carbon.
Yeah.
You know, and disc brakes and, you know, things like that. Is, but it's good. It's good. It's really good.
You've seen it gain in popularity as well.
Yeah, popularity. Yeah. 2020 was big.
Yeah. Through the pandemic.
Through the pandemic, one of the biggest things came when we hit summer, because we closed down in March, basically. So when we hit summer, everybody was looking for some kids, something to do.
Outdoors. Not a group.
And sort then the kids that used to do baseball in the spring and summer, that wasn't available. The kids that did basketball, it wasn't available.
Yeah.
And football and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Wasn't available. So then
it's non-contact. Yes. Yeah.
And so it really blew up in this area.
Yeah.
And at that time, only one track was running.
Yeah.
And that was a Newburgh track.
Okay.
And that's where I met Elliot.
Yeah. So for Canby folks listening to this, like, why are we talking to this guy out in East Portland? Yeah, yeah. So there is a rider from Canby, Elliot Metz. He just turned 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been tearing it up.
Yes, he's been tearing it up. He's
and he, like you said, he got into it. We've talked to his parents. Again, I forget what sports he did, but was looking for something to do during the pandemic, and just
he played
found
basketball
a talent for it.
Yes,
yeah,
and he's really excelled, and that's, I mean, he's doing it with minimal training.
Yeah,
as far as coaching, being one on one with him at the track, you know, teaching him certain techniques, and once that starts, it's going to be crazy.
What is his kind of aptitude for it? He just has a real knack for it, it seems.
He's a very quiet kid.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak much, but when he gets on the track, he's a mean.
He lets his game talk for him.
Yeah, so that's how he got the name Hammer, because he just...
So you gave him the nickname Hammer, right? Yeah. So where did that come from?
Just putting it down, just being ruthless on the track. He was just, ever since I met him, every time I've seen him, I always liked the way he rode. I mean, I remember seeing him ride as a novice, and I went up to him at the race. I said, man, just keep it up. Just keep riding hard.
Yeah, just felt like they saw something in him.
Yeah. And, he just puts it down like a hammer.
He's won quite a few big-time races, even this summer.
Yes, he's won. He won last week at a Gold Cup here in Malawi. He's on a tear right now in his age group. Actually, last week, he did win in Malawi.
Yeah.
But he moves up in age, but he still competes when he moves
up in age. He's one of the top ranked at his age, or maybe ranked.
And so he's phenomenal. He's a really good kid. I like that. So I kind of like kids that don't speak much, but then just take care of business when they go out there.
Not a big trash talker. Do you see all types? You got some like to draw.
I coach basketball and football. I mostly coach basketball.
Oh, people trash talking basketball? I never heard of this. No, and football too?
I coach girls basketball, so you know girls basketball is
Are they even more?
Yes. They're catty, and they're real sneaky, and... they scratch each other without nobody seeing.
I didn't say it. She started it. Yeah. So with the type of racing that I know, you guys are a team, but the events and things that Elliot's doing are individual.
Yes, each rider rides individually.
Okay.
The team aspect of it is just for the togetherness.
Support. It's not cumulative. Teams don't compete with other teams per se.
Not necessarily. We have races, big races, where we'll have a trophy or cash payout for the team with the most points.
Okay.
Other than that, not really. It's just for, you know, togetherness and having. And there's some benefits to it with discounts from bike manufacturers and things like that.
For gear.
Gear,
upgrades.
Things like that. So it's benefits to it.
Yeah.
But that's just secondary to me. I mean, it comes, you know. I can get people all the time that want discounts. They ask, I probably most of them. I try to help them as much as I can.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So what has Elliot kind of, you mentioned a couple times how his personality is sort of a quiet kid or whatnot, but how has he handled the success and really the relatively quick success that he's experienced? Man, does he get excited when he, or is he just kind of like, yeah, it is what it is? Or?
Very humble kid. He will pound his fist every once in a while, but he's pretty humble.
Yeah.
Like I said, he doesn't speak as it comes. Track. It's 45 seconds of, you know, just hard work, winning or losing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sportsmanlike, is he always? Yes. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yes, very sportsmanlike. Like I say, very humble.
Yeah. So for a competitor his age, like we said, he just turned 10, kind of went to a different age bracket with the success he's seen. Can you tell us, and maybe from your experience, like what sort of might be next for him, or what's on the horizon? Well, what can he potentially achieve?
One of our goals as a team, if kids want to move on and do bigger things, is to pursue a factory team to get to that level where you can get be on a factory team, not necessarily a state team, but a factory team that's a nationwide team. And that's one of the things that I would like. I mean, just switching teams in state, it really doesn't do nothing. It's just who you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, but if you can make it to a level where a person, a team, or a manufacturer is dependent on you to show up and show off their goods, that's, you know, then that's something worth going for.
Yeah.
And I could see him really going far. You know, going far as he wants to go.
Yeah.
We got more ideas for training and things like that. This year has been kind of a weird year. We haven't been able to get out and coach with the kids much. But hopefully, you know, coming in the near future, we can.
Is this heat affecting you guys?
I mean, I've had a crazy year so far.
Getting on a factory team, is that something he could even potentially be looking at or be considered for at this age, or is it more?
Well, you can be on a factory team at any age. We have, as a 6-year-old, I know that's on a factory team. It's just your ability to be able to show up at the next.
I couldn't even ride a bike at 8.
Yeah, at the big nationals, like say there's a national last week in somewhere Kentucky or something. Like that, to show up there and podium.
Yeah,
I mean that's the big thing.
Yeah.
At least make your main and be able to compete with the national riders.
Yeah. Awesome. Are there any big events or anything coming up where folks might be able to check Elliot out?
Yes, I think this weekend, I believe Elliot is going to be going down to Dillard, which is Roseburg.
Yeah.
And there's a state race in Roseburg this weekend.
Great.
We have our state finals coming up in August.
Okay, awesome.
That's in Eugene.
Yeah, that'll be a nice stage for him to... He's seen some success, but has he really, do you feel like he's kind of, people are talking about him sort of on a larger state level, or is he still
a little bit of a secret? He's still proving himself. A lot of kids have natural talent. They come out and they look really fast, but then as they grow, other kids get fast too.
You know
what I'm saying? One thing he has for him, he's a big kid. And in this sport, you got to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you burn a lot of calories.
So
he don't have that problem. So he should be fine for a minute.
Absolutely. Well, I know he's got an Instagram for folks can follow him. We'll have that link in the show notes for you guys. Is there any website or Instagram or things where folks can check out the team and kind of follow you guys?
We are on Facebook.
Okay.
His Brothers Racing.
Okay.
And I don't really, I'm kind of old school. I don't do too much social media stuff.
Yeah.
But the kids want to do Instagram. We do have an Instagram, but it's not too used too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, USA BMX is where, if you're want to look into BMX racing, is a good place to look into usabmx.com. Mm. And also in Canby, two of our family member riders actually lived there and went to Canby High. And the Millers, the Miller boys, Kenny Miller, Risden Miller, Chance.
Chance,
Miller.
Yes, yeah. I heard about Chance. Awesome. So you've had some other alumni come out of camp.
Good people.
So I know Chance just graduated a couple years ago. The other ones you mentioned are the brothers.
Risden is his older brother.
Okay,
he graduated 2 years before him.
Okay.
And then Kenny is his dad.
Oh, okay. Multi-generational. Yeah. So Kenny also did BMX?
Kenny raced for a little while until he got smart.
Okay. Decided it was a young man's game?
Or? Yeah, well, you know, I don't mess with it. I ain't gonna get hurt. I ain't trying to get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on, bud. So, Harold, thank you so much for your
time, man.
And thank you for all that you do for youth, man, in our area and this area. That's awesome.
That's what it's about, man. About taking care of our kids first, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And best of luck to you and the team.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Tyler, we have a furry new friend I wanted to show you. His name is Frankie with an I-E. Isn't that cute?
Oh, I get it, because you're Frankie with a C-K-E.
Yeah.
That's so clever.
I know.
The only cute thing I see on this video is me, because you're blurry and frozen.
What? No way. I just got a new phone, and it's supposed to have a great camera.
Dude, you can have the best camera in the world, but you still freeze up if your video calls don't have quality internet.
So what should I do? Frankie's playing in the pool and it's absolutely adorable.
I'm guessing you're using your mobile data for this FaceTime call, right? Just connect to your home Wi-Fi instead. I bet your video comes through just fine. You did just upgrade to direct link with Wi-Fi and fast upload speed, so you might as well get the best use out of them.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, hang on. There. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I should be on my Wi-Fi now.
Yep.
Can you see Frankie in the pool?
Oh, he looks like he's having a blast. See what fast upload speeds can do? For upload and downloads at the speed of visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give him a call at 503-266-8111.
Clackamas County Fair is everything a county fair was meant to be. Join in the fun August 16th through the 20th only at the historic Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Event Center in Canby, Oregon. There's something for the whole family to enjoy, from food and entertainment to livestock and agriculture to rides on the Midway. Visit Days Gone By at the Pioneer Village, featuring a reenactment of Oregon Pioneer Days, and view creative exhibits from local artisans. Stay for the world-class Canby Rodeo, and don't miss the rodeo after party with the Boondock Boys Friday night and Nate Botsford Saturday. For details and to buy your tickets in advance, visit ClackamasCountyFair.com or download the new app on Google Play or the Apple App Store. The Clackamas County Fair, everything a county fair was meant to be.
And finally on this episode, it's Canby Then, and it's brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. You're open daily, and you can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grand Street in downtown Canby, or connect with them through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Ione Jensen has many pictures of her husband, Asa, who had been known to everyone as Ace since he was a small child. The most recent and last photo shows him with two of his fellow residents at Marquee Hope Village Post-Acute Rehab, enjoying a little sunshine outside the front door of the facility in early June. It was the first very slight crack in months of strict lockdown protocols the residents had endured, allowing them out of their rooms and even to see family members as long as visitors agreed to wear face coverings and stay at least 6 feet away. Sadly, the photo was taken just days before the novel coronavirus would strike this facility with a vengeance unseen at virtually any other care home in the state, infecting almost all of its residents and many of its employees. Ione, who took the picture, laughed as she remembered Ace joking with his buddies that day about acting out plans to hotwire a Marquee bus and make their escape. In less than 2 weeks, he would be dead from COVID-19. They met from afar while Ace was serving in the Korean War and Ione, 18, was in the full swing of college. A friend of mine who was engaged met Ace's mother at a family reunion. She said he gets so lonely in the service and asked, "Do you know a nice girl that would write to him?" She recalled. "They asked me, and I said, well, sure, that's the least I could do." They corresponded that way for over a year, social distancing before it was cool, and were eventually writing to each other every day. They met and went on their first date while he was on leave. "We knew very shortly that this was something that we both wanted to make permanent," she said. "So we got married the next year." After the armistice, Ace began a different life of service. In 1971, he became a pastor in the tiny town of Duffer in north central Oregon, which boasts about 500 souls. It has since grown to more than 600. Having grown up on the family farm in Underwood, Iowa, driving tractors, picking corn, and helping with the farm chores from a young age, he was right at home in Duffer, which is known far more for its wheat, grapes, and tree fruit than it is for its bustling nightlife. "Oh, he was a farm boy, so in that farming community, he just settled right in and was part of them," she said. "If anyone needed help with a bucking a bale or two, he'd go right over. He was a real part of the community." He pastored the Duffer Christian Church for 25 years, but he never got too hung up on denominations. The town had a few other churches, Catholic, Methodist, but he was very non-denominational in his ministry, she said. Every week, he would make his nursing home visits and hospital visits, and he would see everyone. He would go out to the tavern every morning and have coffee with all the local yokels. Everyone knew him. They'd say, "Hey, Ace." Oh, he loved kids. And all the school children knew that if they stopped by the church on their way home, Ace would have a smile and a piece of candy for them. He especially loved babies, and they loved him. Oh, after church every Sunday, the mothers would bring by their babies in arms, and the babies, oh, they always loved to rub his bald head, she said with a laugh. I called him a gentle giant. He was a big man, but he was just so wonderfully gentle and empathetic. He was a minister for 40 years. He just took care of people. After his retirement in 1996, he took a part-time gig at an independent church in Tai Valley, where he spent another 15 years. He was also a chaplain for hospice at the Gorge. His long career took him to many long-term care facilities and hospitals over the years, and when circumstances were such that he became the one who was in need of such care, he knew exactly what he wanted and didn't want in a nursing home. The Jensens had lived in an apartment at the Hope Village Senior Living Community for about a year when it became clear that Ace needed more care than Ione could give. Despite being nearly 90, his mental and physical health was actually pretty good. It's just that he was such a big dude and he was having problems with his mobility. Oh, he was having difficulty getting around and he was falling and stuff like that, she said. And, you know, actually, his health was pretty darn good, and I would have expected him to go for at least a few more years without this virus. As far as his heart and lungs, he was perfectly healthy. He had been receiving physical therapy intended to help strengthen his legs and restore some of his lost mobility and independence. Ace was beloved by the care staff, who especially enjoyed telling stories of his quips and exploits. To protect his privacy, he was known by the pseudonym Sassy Resident, a nickname they say he never failed to live up to. Oh, he had them wrapped around his little finger, she said. And when asked about how well he got along with the facility staff, he wanted popcorn, they would go out and just give him popcorn. He was very, very happy there, Ione said. He would have preferred to be home, of course, but he did say to me more than once, "I get such tender, loving care here," she said. As long as he had to be someplace, he felt he was in the best possible place. He was a big joker and loved to banter with the younger employees. In Ione's word, the more he liked you, the more he teased you. And some could give it right back to him. One time, a female staff member asked him, "Well, how are you, Ace?" And he said, "Well, I don't have any complaints," Ione said. She turned on her heels, and in an instant he said, "Huh, that's a first." They were back and forth like that a lot. She described another time where he teased a female resident to the point that she gave him a playful smack or two. An aide came over and asked, "Well, are you okay with her hitting you like that?" Ace chuckled and said, "Yeah, I was asking for it." Oh, he was very much alive, his wife said, up until the end. The COVID-19 outbreak at the Marquee Hope Village Rehab Center was officially confirmed on June 4th, but it had been spreading invisibly for days before that. The earliest possible sign was an employee who developed symptoms on May 31st and later tested positive, but officials have said the asymptomatic spread in this facility was so massive it will be impossible to definitively trace it to its original source. What is known is that the coronavirus has spread to at least 104 people with ties to the facility, including 43 staff members and 33 of the 38 residents. 10 have died, 9 of them residents at Marquis Hope Village, and one believed to be a resident who succumbed at the hospital. Ace was one of the former. It was the weekend before last that family and friends made the trip out for their final visit. A grandson and his 4 children came down from Chehalis, Ione said. Oh, they held the kids up to the windows one by one so they could say goodbye to Grandpa, she said. He smiled and acknowledged them. Oh, they had a phone, and he tried to talk. Of course, he was in an oxygen mask by then. On Monday, June 15th, he was visited by their minister from the Smyrna United Church of Christ, Deb Patterson, whom he adored, and his best friend, Rick Gano, who used to bring him buckets of popcorn, according to Ione. He said he was glad to see them again. Ione is sure he knew by then that he wasn't going to make it. Their final conversation was also that Monday. He didn't have much to say, but he said he was doing fine. Oh, he was always protecting me. He asked, how are you? And I said, I'm fine, Ace. I'm fine. And other than the usual, I love yous. That was the last conversation. He died Tuesday, 4 days before they would have celebrated their 66th wedding anniversary. He was 89. The powerlessness comes from the fact that you want to physically be there, holding their hand, talking to them, or just being there, she said. That separation of glass feels almost like an imprisonment. But he was not alone. He was comforted in his final hours by Tracy, his favorite worker, who had given him the nickname Sassy Resident, and whom he called, though never within her earshot, his gem. The last 2 evenings of his life, Tracy came by to sit with him for hours. She held his hand. She heard his last words. He asked about a letter that had come in from Ione and what it had said. Oh, that she loves you, Tracy replied. He took his final breath shortly thereafter. How many, many hands had he held and people he sat with as they took their last breath? Ione wondered. Oh, too many to count. Tracy was such a blessing. I think that was his karma paying off. No funeral service was planned, only a private memorial. Upon hearing the news, his great-nephew, Derek Mether, whom he baptized at the Dufour Christian Church in 1986, summed up the feelings of many when he said, oh, he will be missed, but he's watching over us now. God better be ready to laugh.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This, Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.